Well, again, good morning, church. It's great to be here with you. For the last couple of weeks, we have been talking about the kingdom of God and what the kingdom of God means. I mean, the term itself is just full of mystery and wonder. It describes a kingdom. When we talk about the kingdom of God, we're talking about a kingdom that is here, but not fully here. It's a kingdom that we're called to live as citizens of, all the while we live in a very real earthly kingdom. Now, the early church was persecuted because Christians were seen as not being loyal to the empire. Now, Christians would not offer sacrifices to Caesar, right? Caesar was the God-man, that he was God incarnate. And for a Christian to offer a sacrifice to a man just went right against the rules. And so that was a big strike against them. Early Christians wouldn't fight in the military. They wouldn't pledge allegiance to Rome. You know, the early Christians were seen as radicals and subversives in the earthly kingdom, the Empire of Rome. And they were seen this way because of their allegiance to the kingdom of God. They knew what Jesus had done for them. They knew what price was paid for them to be a citizen of the kingdom of God. They knew they were called to live differently in this life and in the life to come. You know, may our ears and eyes be open today to hear how they were called to live according to the kingdom of God, and may we hear it as well. So let's read our scripture today from Colossians chapter 1, 9 through 14. And Paul writes, "For this reason, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you. We continually ask God to fill you with the knowledge of his will through all the wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives, so that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and please him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience, and giving joyful thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of his holy people in the kingdom of light. For he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. So what is required of a citizen of heaven? You know, what better way to live as a part of the kingdom of God than to live a life worthy of the Lord? You know, Paul reveals what this means in these four participles in verses 10 through 12. Right? Bearing fruit, growing in knowledge, being strengthened, and giving thanks. And so let's take those and kind of stretch it out a little bit. Let's take a deeper look at each one of those four pieces. And so the first one is bearing fruit. You know, the idea of bearing fruit is not something that is foreign to us. You know, if you go and you buy a fruit tree and you take care of it, you would expect that in a couple years, you would gain some sort of fruit from that tree you planted. And if after 5-10 years, that tree is doing nothing, we'd think, right, rightfully so, that something must be wrong. Something's wrong with this tree, and we might complain about it. We might return it to the nursery that we bought it from. The tree did not live up to its advertising. Reminds me of a time at my first church where, when I was just getting into gardening, and I had gotten something, a pot with some seeds, and it was sunflowers. I love sunflowers. And I planted this seed, and I watered it. I nurtured it, I watered it, I talked to it, I watched it grow from just a, itty bitty little greens, and it would grow, and it grew, and it grew, and it grew. And eventually I realized that is not a sunflower. I think I was growing a milkweed or something. I mean, so I stopped watering it. I stopped caring for it at that point. It was not what I thought it was. You know, Jesus says this. He says the same is true of people who profess faith. He says this in Matthew chapter 7. You know, watch out for false prophets, for they come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ferocious wolves. And by their fruit you will recognize them. Do you pick grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Likewise, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. Now, it's important to remember, right, that fruitfulness takes time, that you don't get fruit the first year that you plant a tree. It takes time for the tree to mature. I think the same is for us as followers of Christ, that the change might not be immediately discernible. Sometimes it is, and praise God when it is, but sometimes the changes are smaller. But over a course of time, we should see differences in the way people live because of who lives within them. That when the Holy Spirit controls our lives, we will produce the kind of fruit that we're told about in Scripture. Love and joy and peace and patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, and self-control. And this is what Jesus says, you know, you want to bear fruit? You want to bear good fruit? If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, however, you can do nothing. And you hear what he's saying. Listen carefully to what Jesus is saying here, that as you draw closer to him, as we draw closer to Jesus, the fruit comes naturally. It's not a matter of trying harder. It's a matter of us drawing closer to him. And so a life that pleases God, a life that is worthy of being a citizen of heaven, a citizen of God, is a life that glorifies God in our daily life. This is how we do our job. This is how we treat our co-workers. These are the tactics we will use and won't use in order to gain a profit. This is the way that we handle the mistakes that we make. This is the way that we treat our family in ways that glorify God. Secondly, Paul says, is that we will know God better. And the life that pleases God is one that keeps on growing in knowledge. It is continually seeking to know God better. But in order to understand the force of what's being said here, let me state it from the negative side. Okay? So first of all, growing in the knowledge of God is not the same as seeking to learn how to get more from God. And many of us are concerned only with how we can tap into God's resources. We want to learn how we can get God to answer our prayers. We want to learn how to get God to meet our needs and to banish our problems. How do we get God on our side? If your children only ever come to you when they wanted something, would you feel wanted? Would you feel loved? If your children, however, spent their life studying you so that they gave you what you really wanted or what was special to you, you would feel loved rather than feeling used. You know, when our concerns and seeking God to know better is not to be able to experience more of his blessing, more of what we get from God, We want to get to know God better so that we can get to know the giver of the gifts. You know, all the things God gives us, as wonderful as they are, aren't God. What we really need to know, what we really need to grow into, is knowing Him better. And secondly, growing in the knowledge of God is not the same as growing in knowledge about God. You know, we can spend a lot of our time on earth mastering information of God and not having a relationship with Him at all. Now, there's always this danger of substituting facts for relationship. And a life that pleases God is one that yearns to know more about God so that they can know God better. You know, I think this kind of person is the kind of person who reads the Bible not for factual information, but to discern the heart of God. You know, what is God saying about our relationship when we read this? That they look for direction and not merely information when they read God's word. That their prayer life is not totally consumed with requests. But when we think of prayer as a conversation with God, there's a whole lot more than simply asking for what we need or what we want, but to spend time with Him. They're eager to learn of God. They want to read or be taught anything that can help them know God better. And they're careful to make sure that they're seeking truth and not just ammunition to defend their own presuppositions, their own points. Yeah, knowing God better is a wonderful, lifelong pursuit. And Pastor Brad, I'm sure he shared this story before. It's one that always just sticks out in my mind. I actually heard it before he came to Concord, and was something in my mind when he first came. But you know, Brad had the opportunity to sit with a bunch of saints down in Asbury, Wilmore, Kentucky. And Wilmore is, you know, kind of jokingly referred to as the Holy City. It's got Asbury College, Asbury University. It's a mission organization's out of Wilmore, and so it's just a very special place. And he's sitting around, he and a couple other seminary students are sitting with some of these spiritual giants, missionaries to India, all sorts of things, you know, the Seaman brothers, Dr. Kinlaw. And I remember him saying, like, they were confessing their sins to one another. And he would look to his buddies that were with him, and he goes, "I didn't even know those things were sins." And it's because the more we get to know God, the more we're going to know God. We're going to know God's heart better. And things we may not be aware of that are against God's heart, we're going to learn. And because we love God, then we wouldn't want them to even be a part of our life. That there's no spiritual retirement, right? We're called to continue to learn. A disciple is somebody who continues to learn about their Lord. Thirdly, it's endure troubled times and patience with difficult people. You know, Paul tells the Colossians that a life that pleases God is one that is being strengthened with all power according to His glorious might. But then you look and you see the reason for this power, and it's given so that we could have great endurance with patience. Endurance and patience. That word for endurance or perseverance literally means to remain under. And we'd be more likely to say, well, it means to hang in there. That endurance, you know, you're hanging in there. It's a strength that helps us to endure the troubled times of life or the troubled people of life. I saw this T-shirt this past week that said, "You smell like drama and a headache. Stay away from me." It was a fun shirt. I liked it. But you know, that word for patience has a reference to dealing with difficult people. And God gives us this strength to be patient with people who annoy us or disturb us or who make us want to scream. Being strong in times of trouble or with troubled people is difficult. And there's nothing difficult people aren't a lot of fun to be around. But that's the point. Right, people naturally react to difficult people negatively. However, when we are in Christ, He gives us a different perspective. And God teaches me patience by reminding me that I was, and I sometimes still am, a difficult person. Ask Jan, she will tell you. That every single one of us deserves the benefit of the doubt. And sometimes somebody just is having a bad day. You don't know what they woke up to. We don't always know what people are dealing with, and so we give them the benefit of the doubt. That most often difficult people are people who are simply hurting. And judging a person's heart and motives is God's job, not mine. You know, God has a history of transforming people that I would write off. It's one of the things God specializes in. And so being a part of the kingdom of God means that, you know, it's about belonging. Right? Belong, believe, become. It's about this ever-growing circle of people. People you may disagree with, people you may dislike. And God says, that's okay. Because I will give you the power to like them. I will give you the power to have them as part of your family. Because God's kingdom is greater than ours. And lastly, it's joyful thanks. Last thing Paul says about being a kingdom believer, a kingdom of God citizen, someone who pleases God, is to have joyful thanks. You ever notice how much we complain? You know, we complain about the weather. I mean, you know, Brett's not here, but it's so true. Complain about the weather. It's too cold. It's too hot. Just wait. It'll change, you know. We complain about our income, complain about paying taxes. You know, my gosh, how awesome it is to be able to pay taxes, because that means you've got an income to even pay the taxes. You have something, and there are people who have nothing. We complain about our government, right? It's election season is coming. Oh my gosh, we will complain and complain. We complain about how our food is being cooked or how long the waitress takes, when we should be grateful to have food. And Jan and I, we went out to eat because we're experiencing empty nest a little bit. You know, we're having a taste of that empty nest life with Sophia going to football games and homecoming last night, and ugh, I hate it all. But it was nice, you know, we're sitting out to eat, and it did take an extraordinarily long time to get our food. But I said that to Jen, I'm like, it is taking a very long time. I said, we've been able to sit here and talk the whole time. You know, instead of ordering, getting our food, rushing out and leaving, we got to sit there for an hour and just talk and enjoy each other. And it's like, all right, this wasn't so bad, you know. Slow down, recognize the blessing in slow service. And you know, oftentimes it's not even their fault, right? It's just stupid COVID. Nobody wants to work. And I didn't even I just complained right there. My gosh, I can't stop myself. You know, we thank God, let me get back to the script, that's always the problem, stick to the script. We thank God for what He's given us, while at the same time we're saying, God, You should have given us more. We somehow think that if God truly loved us, we would have less problems, we'd have more money, we'd have more stuff, more influence, less illness, more good times, less difficult times. But then we tell God we're grateful. And what's God to believe? Are they happy? Are they thankful? Are they not thankful? Do they want more? Do they want less? What is it? It's like we're giving God whiplash. Gratitude begins when we realize that we don't deserve the inheritance that has been reserved for us. We should spend every waking moment of our lives grateful that God has pulled us from the jaws of hell, that someone told us about Jesus, that God opened our eyes to him and allowed us the ability to accept him as our Lord and Savior. And God has taken our dead-end lives and he has set us on a path towards eternity. We must think often of where we would be if he had not drawn us to him. And that attitude of gratitude grows when we open our eyes to the blessings that he has granted us. You know, when's the last time you thanked God for the breath you were able to take, or the blue sky, or the song of a bird? You know, we grow in our gratefulness, or as we grow in our gratefulness, we begin to see, we remind ourselves of just how wonderful our Savior is. And as we study his words, as we study his actions, we become much more attuned to his character, and we will naturally then grow in gratitude because we are going to be more and more united with the one who is so magnificent. You know, a final word for us today, you know, Paul is pointing towards the goal. Right? This is what we're working towards, not where we should already be. And Paul's reminding us is that we have work to do. That each and every one of us can be a better citizen of the kingdom of God. And sometimes we just simply need to be shaken up out of our complacency. We need to be reminded that we are called to a deeper relationship with him. We are called to a Christianity that is more than just this spiritual mumbo jumbo. It is a summons to a relationship with Christ that will transform you. It is an invitation to a life that will invigorate you. It's a doorway to a lifestyle that will make the world stop and wonder. Your life, the way that you live, may very well be the way that someone finds out about Jesus. May it be so. Deny yourself, take up his cross, and follow after him. And that's more than just simply our words. That is our life. Our every day, every moment, waking moment with Jesus. You know, may it be so. And here I am, dear Lord. Please use me. Please use us. Let's pray. Gracious God, thank you for doing what it took to make sure that we could be citizens of the kingdom of heaven, that we could be a part of the kingdom of God, that you redeemed us, you purchased us back from sin and death with the blood of your Son. You gave up what was most dear and important to you so that we could have an opportunity, so that we could live like that was important, so that we could live like that matters. And so, Lord, continue to challenge us, continue to make us more and more like you. Your will be done on earth as in heaven. Jesus, we pray this in your precious name. Amen. Amen. Would somebody know which kingdom you live in? If they meet you on the street, if they see you in the store, as they hear you talking about the slow waitress Friday night, would they know what kingdom you belong to? You know, these are the things, church, we have to change about ourselves. Somebody saw our calendar. Somebody saw our checkbook. Somebody saw our texts. How do they match up? How do they align with the kingdom of God? You know, we have to decide. We have to choose to die to self. We have to choose to take up his cross. And we have to choose to follow after him. God will not make us do that. But rather, he is inviting us to a different way of life, a different way of thinking. He's inviting us to kingdom of God thinking. Because God knows better. God is able to see what this world needs. This world does not need more of the kingdom of Chris. This world needs more of the kingdom of God. And we are being called to take it to the world. Lord God, as we leave this space today, we are reminded that we are entering into your mission field. That wherever we go and everyone we interact with, Lord, is for a reason and a purpose. And so, Lord, again, we pray that you would use us. Use our sinful, broken bodies. Lord, we mess up. We fall short. And that, God, you continue to want to use us for your kingdom's sake. Thank you, Jesus, for never giving up on us. And may we follow after you. It's in your name, Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you, church. Have a wonderful week.